Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the high seat in DISC and teamwork weaknesses, part two. The questions discussed answers are, as a high C, how might I be hurting my relationship with my team? As a high C, what behaviors should I stop doing to improve my relationship with my teammates? And as a high C, what behaviors should I start doing to improve my relationships with my teammates?
This may be the last podcast in our series on MTDISC, but don't worry, the knowledge doesn't end here. The starting place is always knowing your DISC profile. And if you haven't done that yet, it's just $30 and 20 minutes, so what are you waiting for? If you have, then type MTDISC into the search bar on manager-tools.com, and you'll find a wealth of information and products we have in order to take you deep into communication excellence.
Last week, we talked about praising people's ideas and doing what has to be done. Hopefully, people have implemented that and found some results, good results, I hope. And this week, we're going to start with communicate appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Now, as high C's, you should know, we alluded to this earlier, but more specifically, you have a preference for written communication. Okay? The other profiles do not share that desire for written communication in the same way. When you communicate by email, you're not communicating effectively, even though it's more effective for you, even though it feels more efficient for you. Communicate using the other person's preference, and you'll be more effective even when you're behaving in what you deem is a less efficient manner.
And sometimes you're right. An email with 18 paragraphs of carefully structured detail and three attachments with macros and footnotes is the appropriate way to communicate your message. But high D's want something short. High I's want to talk to you. High S's want to talk to you too for different reasons. And when they get 18 paragraphs and macros and footnotes, they don't think, that's so nice, it's so comprehensive and thorough, I can rely on this information. They think, why are you sending me something so long? Why aren't you talking to me? What's hidden in this that I don't understand?
I was working with a client in Europe. I was working with Heineken. I was doing the Effective Communicator Conference, and a gentleman came up to me at the last break and said, oh my gosh, it works. And I was like, I know it does. What? What part of it? And he literally told me about how he had, high C, written a long, thorough email, all the details that were possibly needed to help the parties responsible make a decision. And he'd sent that email and it didn't get responded to, but because it was the most beautiful creation of words that any human being has ever created to transmit that message, he then forwarded that mail. Again, to no response. But there was a decision required. So he kept spending time sending his response to try and get the answer, and no response.
I bet he kept changing the subject line, decision required,
right?
At the top.
Yeah, exactly. Making it seem more urgent, maybe changing a few things, maybe adding some words to it because maybe it wasn't like fully clear what was required here. So on the break, he chose to trust what I'd been saying and run his own experiment. Mm-hmm. So he, on the break, took that email that he forwarded to the same audience 5 times and just took out the question that needed answering, sent an email that only consisted of the question that needed answering. And by the time he was back from our 10-minute break, he already got the answer.
Wow.
I know. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't. What have you done, you sorceress? I was like, dude, I just told you the playbook. That's all. Like, that's all. It's always been true. I get it. That was the perfect creation of words that any human being has ever put together in order to explain the thing you explained. But you're not getting the results you want. And if you're not getting the results you want, I'm not even suggesting you change the way you write your email to give the other person a better experience. I'm suggesting you change the words you're writing to give yourself a better experience, because otherwise the frustration that comes from
not being heard.
Like, yeah, not being heard. You feel like you're doing the right thing, but no one's noticing or paying attention or reading. Communicate the way they do.
Yeah. This sounds bad since we teach this stuff, but this stuff is so easy. I had the same experience you had this week. Somebody was asking me about DISC, and I said, oh, I'll send you a thing and you can take your profile. But actually, you're an SE, so, you know, you probably don't need to. And she took the profile. She is an SE. She read the report. And then she said, how did you know that, you sorceress? It was funny because she used exactly the same word. And I'm like, it's not hard. It really isn't. Like, you responded to me in this situation this way. It really isn't hard. And it's not just the way you communicate, it's what you communicate as well. High I's and S's want to talk about the people. And high D's, like you just said, just want to know, what do you want me to do? Or if you're reporting, what's been done? What's not done? What's been decided? What do you want me to decide? That's all they want.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, folks, what this means for you actionably is, before you communicate, ask yourself the following questions. Is a instant message or a phone call or a Zoom meeting or some other form of communication a better way to communicate in this case? So that's one consideration. Then, am I communicating the details that are relevant to the individual whom I'm communicating, right? To that particular individual, they might not need all the details. Am I communicating what's relevant? And then, am I putting efficiency over effectiveness? And that's a really common one I find. It's easier. It's faster. This is the way I communicate. It's best for me. And again, if it's not getting you the results you want, is it best for you?
And the easy question is, what would that person do? Does that person call me? Does that person write emails and always include my name and ask how I am? Then just do that, right? And as with some of our other points, the sad thing is that you sit at your desk thinking that the other profiles appreciate your effectiveness, that your complete emails with all the details are appreciated for their accuracy and their thoroughness and the care and the effort that you put into them. All the things that you appreciate when you get that kind of email. And the I's and S's are thinking, why won't she just come talk to me? The I's are thinking, this person is so boring. And the S's are worried about you because, well, why don't you come talk to people? You're not achieving what you want. Yeah, you are working.
Exactly.
You are working yourself to the bone and not achieving what you want at all. And you are working so hard to be a good team player. And if you only redirect that effort, you would be so much more successful.
Mm-hmm.
And you're good at following rules. It's just a set of rules for people.
Exactly. It's just a set of rules for people. I will also recommend here, though, Wendy, for those of you that are thinking, how do I possibly take my 14 paragraphs and boil it down into a sentence or two? We have a really good podcast called Creating a Good Bluff, BLUF. It's an acronym for bottom line up front. And I know I've spoken to some people before who've said to me, but Sarah, I didn't know what I wanted to say or ask until I'd spent all that time writing all that down. That's cool. You can absolutely do that. Then take a moment, figure out what the bluff is. At the top of your email, press carriage return, carriage return, carriage return, and paste that 1 to 2 sentence line at the top. And even just that step will make your mails so much more effective. If you're a collector of PDU credits, Manager Tools can help. Whether we're working on site with groups or with individuals in our in-person and public events, all teams and people trained by Manager Tools on the concepts we discuss will receive PDU credits for the time invested. If you'd like more information, send an email to us at customerservice@manager-tools.com, and we can talk to you about how you can earn PDU credits with Manager Tools today. Okay, that takes us to the next bit. Look at the big picture. Now, UCs don't focus so much on optimizing specific details that you end up missing the optimization of the whole. Now, C's, you're the details guy, and every team needs a details guy. We all do. Someone's got to be in the weeds. They truly do. A team can't be made up of all the same style, though, because they'd never get anything done. The downside of always focusing on the details is that you can often miss the larger picture.
And there is a standard for every process and every output which is sufficient. The skill is not to be able to achieve perfection in every process and every output, but to know where sufficient is and not to fall short or go too far. And it's a delicate balancing act. And if anyone on the team has the innate skills to do it, it's the high C.
That's exactly it. The focus on details isn't a problem of your output, though, because if it were, it wouldn't be in this guidance. The problem with your non-high C colleagues, or the problem is with your communication as it pertains to your non-high C colleagues. They think that your focus on details is unnecessary, nitpicky, and fussy. A high I doesn't care. The shock and horror are on all the high C's faces right now. A high D doesn't care about the difference between 2.63 million and 2.75 million. It is the same number. It is literally the same number. A high S cares whether you said good morning, not whether your spreadsheets follow a specific naming convention. Oh, it's always day before month instead of month before day.
They don't care that your folders sort properly. But they do care that whether or not you said good morning.
Exactly. Exactly. A high D thinks, just shove it in the folder. That is the filing system. When it's in the folder, it's filed. And every time you correct them, send out the instructions again, or explain again, they don't see you as being helpful. But being irritated, or irritating, worse yet, about things that don't even matter because you're getting all spun up about something that's not even a big deal. Even the S, who will listen to you politely, is wondering why the naming convention matters so much when you don't even seem to like them since you don't even say good morning.
Right. And again, you're working so hard and achieving the opposite of what you want. It is far better to find a way to help the other profiles achieve the sufficient standard in their own way than to try and make them reach it your own way. So for example, set up a system that automatically names the high D's files and moves them to the correct folder. If a high I says 2.75 million and the slide deck that you put together clearly says 2.63 million and everybody can read it, let it go. It doesn't matter. Everybody can see that the high I is exaggerating, and probably everybody knows they exaggerate anyway.
Exactly.
Take the time to say good morning to the high S and show your filing system to a fellow high C who will appreciate it. It's about working with people and their preferences rather than trying to fight them the whole time.
Yeah, I was going to say, Wendy, it's about choosing your battles. But actually what I want to say is it's about not making them battles to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, like we don't have to be like, no, I'm unmoving, I'm unbending. People need to bend under my will. It's not like that. Just know we all have different strengths and weaknesses and be okay with it. And one of the ways we do that is by showing flexibility. The only constant is change. And unfortunately, I see that means you got to change too. As we said earlier, companies are not experiments. Whatever the plan was last week, there's basically, let's face it, a 75% probability that someone's going to come to you this week with a new or different plan. And it's going to be super annoying, but it's going to happen.
And we know that's frustrating, and it's also the reality we have to live with. Everyone, including all of the other profiles, will have lost their temper at the changes at some stage. So the fact that you express frustration sometimes is not the end of your professional career. However, please try to remember that your colleagues did not cause the changes. Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah, or I would say, Wendy, even if your colleagues did cause the changes, they didn't do it just to tick you off and make your life harder.
Yes.
They totally didn't. You know, something I've gotten to say a lot recently, and I find helpful, is when I'm talking to groups, EMC, ECC, whatever it may be, I often say, Let's all remember, folks, if we work for the same organization, by definition, we have the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
To make the organization that we all work for successful. Now, we're going to approach it totally differently, obviously. We're going to have different ways of wanting to do it, but why? Why sometimes does it feel like tearing each other apart to achieve the same goal together? It's that. It's assume positive intent.
Yes.
Here's me inserting all the podcasts from the past that were very helpful, I found. But yeah, assume positive intent. If you haven't listened to the podcast, listen to it. My favorite one of ever. And yeah, it's okay. Assume that they meant well. Assume that they didn't know. Assume that they didn't do it just to make you irritated or cause you additional work, because they definitely didn't do it. So luckily, as a high C, you probably know your way around the systems at work. And you're adept with the shortcuts that make changing your project plans easy. You're also the most likely to have saved your processes, have checklists for making changes, and generally be more organized to make change efforts or change events easier. And while you'd prefer consistency, sharing your documentation with others is one way you can help other people and facilitate that change.
Consistency is a strength. High C's can take it too far and become rigid in the face of too much change. And when your colleagues are also struggling with change, your rigidity is not helpful. Often your teammates are not coming to you, like we said, to make the changes because they want to, but because they've been told to. And asking for the data and the rationale behind those changes, which high C's often do, It just makes that conversation even more difficult for the person who's asking when they don't know and they didn't make the decision. And as I said, don't shoot the messenger. Often, you know, someone's coming to you and says, my boss asked me to tell you we need to do this now. And then the high C says, but why? And what happens if you're not logged in? And what if this? And what if that? Because that's what they do. And the poor person is like, I don't know. Please just change it.
Yeah.
And it ends up in an argument. And that's not what you want to do.
Yeah, I think that's the most confusing part of it all. I for all the profiles, high C's, we're not trying to beat up on you. For all of the profiles, we truly think what we do is helpful to other people.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And we all get frustrated. It happens. But we truly think what we're doing is useful and helpful and beneficial, which means it's kind of painful when we figure out or we learn that maybe it's actually not that helpful.
In that situation, the high C is thinking, well, that's stupid because we made a decision last week that made perfect sense. We had all the data. We had a reason. We had a rationale. We had a logical. We had this conversation. We were doing X. Why is this person now coming to me and saying we're doing Y? There better be a good reason for it, because otherwise we should just carry on doing X. And they're working through that by asking all those questions. The person standing in front of them, though, is like, I don't have the answers, and I was just told to come down here.
Right.
And they feel attacked,
mm-hmm.
even though that's not your intention.
Exactly. And again, to the point of the cast, folks, we're here to help you have better relationships with your immediate team. So being aware of those kinds of things will help facilitate or improve some of those relationships. So being a high C is not a strength or a weakness any more than being a high D, I, or S is a strength or a weakness. All that label means is that we have a set of natural behaviors that may or may not support our effectiveness in any given situation. We can change those behaviors anytime we like. Since working on a team is what we all do every day, whether we want to or not, learning to recognize the behaviors that work against us and mitigate them is a lesson well worth learning and a skill well worth developing.
And all you want to do is get your stuff done in peace and quiet. And if this is what it takes, it's worth doing. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.